The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about if free dining is really worth it and how to maximize your extra magic hours. That's coming up on this episode 86 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 86. So today we are going to talk about if free dining is really worth it, because it's something I hear a lot about. And I just wanted to sort of dive into it today because it turns out it might not be worth it depending on where you're staying and who's in your group. So we'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about maximizing extra magic hours, and that'll be part of the quick tip of the day, and we'll sort of expand upon that in that section, and I'll have news at the end as well. Before we dive in, just a reminder to connect outside of the podcast, because I like to talk to you guys. I am very active on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest in particular, so just find me at WDW Prep School there, and I look forward to talking to you on social media instead of you just listening to me talk through the podcast. So I want to talk today about free dining, and I'm going to start by reading something I wrote on Facebook the other day, and then I just want to use this podcast to sort of expand upon this. So here's what I wrote on Facebook earlier this week. I wrote, "If drink every time you hear free dining was a game, I would be drunk by 9:30 a.m. every single day. I don't know anything about free dining right now, and if it continues to be offered, I expect it to be scaled back every year. They just don't need to offer fall promotions like they used to. Also, people often lose all sense of rationality when they start thinking about free food. There are stories of people giving up free park tickets just to get free dining, since you have to buy park tickets from Disney to get free dining. That is just bad math. Remember to look at your overall costs." So I just wanted to expand upon that today, because it is true that I get so many emails, Facebook messages, comments on the website every single day about free dining. People keep asking as if it's some sort of secret that I'm keeping that I didn't want to tell people about. Free dining began being offered primarily in the fall, you know, several years ago when the economy wasn't doing so well, and when the fall wasn't a busy time to travel. So they started offering free dining, which basically gives you a free dining package with your, if you book a package that includes the hotel and tickets, they would allow you to have free dining. If you stay at a value resort, you get the quick service dining plan. And if you stay at a moderate or deluxe, you get the basic or regular dining plan. And so this is a great incentive, because it really does equal a lot of savings for a lot of people. But now people have sort of lost their mind, and it's all that people talk about. But it may not make sense for everyone. And so I just wanted to sort of talk about that today to remind people that you have to do the math. Don't get mesmerized by free food and sort of lose all sense. You need to sit down and compute what your savings is on paper, and not just look at the free food part of it. So for instance, let's talk about the cost of the dining plan. So the regular dining plan, which gives you one table service credit per day, one quick service credit per day, a snack, and a refillable mug, costs $60 for adults, which is 10 and up, and $19 for kids 3 to 9. And if you're on the quick service dining plan, which gives you two quick service meals and the refillable mug and the snack, it's $42 per day for adults, $16 for kids. So those are the numbers that you have to use when you're computing the savings. But when it comes down to it, there's often a room-only rate that is more than that. So for instance, if you have a deluxe hotel room that costs $600 per night, and there's a 30% off room-only rate going on at the same time as free dining, then that would equal a savings of $180, which, depending on how many people there are in your group, could be more than the free dining. So if you have two adults or three adults, then that actually is equal to the $180. The three adults equals $180. Anything beyond that, you would save more by using the room only discount. So it's really important to do that. Or in the Facebook post I just read you about people giving up free park tickets are incredibly expensive. So to give those up and like to not use them because you want to get free dining and book a package just doesn't make sense. You have to write down how much am I getting in free tickets and does that equal more than the free dining package? Oftentimes it does not. Maybe it does though. So let's go back to the example I was just reading. So I said 30% off $600 is $180, which may or may not be better than free dining, depending on how many people are in your group. When you go below deluxes, so when you go into the moderate category, you often will see a room-only rate of 25% off, which is not that much. A moderate is usually around $200 per night, and so a 25% off discount would only be $50. So free dining is going to be your best option there. And then at values, you get the quick service dining plan, but it's still going to be worth more than your typical savings. So Pop Century, for instance, usually runs about $120 to $150 per night. And 20% off is pretty typical, which would be only a savings of $24 to $30 per night. So bottom line is that if you're staying at a value and or a moderate, usually the free dining is going to be your best bet in terms of cost savings. If you're staying in deluxe, then it is worth it to do the math because the more people you have, the better chance that free dining is going to be worth it. But you still might save more by using a room-only discount. So for families of five or more, Disney Dining Plan is going to be the best deal, usually at every category. For families of three or four, the free dining is going to make good sense at the value and moderate levels and for the lower price deluxes, like let's say the Wilderness Lodge or the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Free dining still might make sense there, but if you're staying at one of the more expensive deluxes like the Polynesian, the Beach Club, Grand Floridian, then you need to do the math because oftentimes the room-only discount will still save you more with a family of three or four. And then if you have two people or one, then you're going to have to look at the costs like everybody else, but usually the room-only discount is going to be better because the free dining plan doesn't apply to as many people when you only have one or two in the room. So that room-only discount at the deluxe level is going to be better. But at the value and moderate levels, you will be better off with the free dining plan. Now, all this discussion assumes that you like eating the way the dining plan is set up. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that it's one table service for the regular dining plan, one table service, one quick service, a snack, and a refillable mug, which doesn't seem like that much, but it does take away the option of splitting meals because you have all these credits to use and it doesn't take away the option to split meals, I guess. It just is a lot of credits to go through if you are used to splitting meals. So there's that. And also lunch and dinner come with dessert. And I love dessert, but I am definitely not getting it at every meal normally. And so for us, it is a lot of food. And so you just have to sort of think when you're comparing costs, how would I normally eat if I was paying out of pocket, which might include splitting some things, versus how am I going to eat when I'm on the dining plan? And is that difference going to be worth it for our family? Because when you do the math, it may or may not actually be worth it. So for instance, my daughter and I went last year to the food court at Port Orleans Riverside, and we went to the build your own pasta bar where you tell them what kind of noodles and sauces and everything you want. And we each got, you know, whatever we wanted. She's a vegetarian, I'm not. So, you know, we just got our own thing. And when we sat down to eat it, it was enough. Each one was enough for three people. It was an enormous amount of food. We could have easily just split one and paid $15, you know, which is only $7 per person. Primetime Cafe at Hollywood Studios, the portions are huge for the entrees and the desserts. And so to have one of those per person for a whole meal. It's an enormous amount of food. If I was paying out of pocket for our family, I would probably just get two entrees and two desserts, maybe, and that would be it. But if you're on the dining plan, you're getting one of each for everybody. And it's just a lot to go through. So, you know, I think when you're comparing, you can't just compare what does the dining plan cost and how much am I getting for free, when the bottom line is if you were paying out of pocket, you wouldn't even be getting that much food. So that's something to definitely consider when you are looking at it. And so just be sure to do the math and consider how you eat and hopefully come to a decision, and try not to freak out too much about free dining. I actually, as I said, when I was reading the Facebook post, I'm not convinced that they're going to continue to offer it, because it was just, it began at a time when things were just so much different than they are now. Right now, the economy is a lot better and fall is much busier. And so last year, most of October was actually blacked out when they did offer it. So I think if they keep offering, it's just going to be keep being scaled back. They also don't offer as many resorts as they used to. And they, you know, so it's fewer dates and it's fewer resorts. And so they may just keep doing this until it disappears altogether. So if free dining is what your whole trip is dependent on, then you might consider a backup plan just in case, because there's no guarantee it's going to keep being offered. Anyway, so I hope that's helpful in some ways, and that you're able to sort of figure out what makes the most sense for you. I have previous podcasts about how to prepare for free dining, because I actually recommend that you book two trips, one before free dining's announced and one after free dining's announced, and then cancel the first one. And so I'm going to link to that podcast in the show notes, because I think the information is very helpful. And so if free dining is announced, you will be prepared for that. I also would take a look at my chart that's about maximizing dining credits. And that way you're able to sort of, if you do get free dining or just the dining plan in general, you can pick restaurants that really make the best use of your credits. And that's typically going to be buffets and character meals, things like that. So I'll just include links to both of those in the show notes so that you have that information if free dining is announced. So I want to talk for a couple minutes about a couple news things that came out this last week. One was that beginning April 20th, this week, there's going to be a test for a month of buses that take you from Magic Kingdom over to the Hoop Dee Dee Review and Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. And these buses will run from 4 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. daily. So let's talk about this a little bit, because usually the way that you get to Hoop Dee Dee Review or Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, which are both located in a similar area at Fort Wilderness, is to get to take a boat from the dock in front of Magic Kingdom. You just take the boat right over there, and it takes you right where you need to be. So they're going to test the bus system, which will be faster. And that will go from the Magic Kingdom bus stops over to Hoop Dee Dee Review and Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. So if it begins April 20th and it's going for a month, then obviously it'll last through about mid-May. And after that, I guess we'll find out if this is going to be a permanent thing. But I'm really glad to see this. Although the boat ride is quite lovely and a nice way to kind of get over there, it is a slower process. And so this will be hopefully more efficient. So that's one thing. Another thing is that in the summer, there are concerts at Epcot called Sounds Like Summer. And the reason it's called Sounds Like Summer is because the bands that perform are all cover bands. So for instance, their cover band for U2 is called 2U. And the lineup was just announced. And those run from June 7th to July 25th. And so I'll just link to that list in the show notes so you can see which cover band is going to be there. I'm always a little bit embarrassed by Disney musical acts, because at Universal, and I'm not the biggest Universal fangirl like some people are, but Universal has these big like A-list concert performances, and Disney World, which is really just really at Epcot, they have performances there. They often have just much, you know, bands that you haven't heard of in a couple of decades, or cover bands, you know, they're not really big names. But I guess they don't have to, because it's busy with or without the big names. But anyway, so Sounds Like Summer series was just announced. And so that's another thing. If you're going between June 7th and July 25th, you might want to check out if you'd like to listen to them at Epcot. Now, The quick tip of the day is going to be a bit of a discussion, which is why I've allowed some time for that. And so I want to play that quick tip of the day now, which was called in by a listener, and then I want to discuss it after hearing this. So here we go.
Hi, my name is Brittany Taylor Stewart, and I just got back from my first originally planned Disney vacation. I'd gone a couple times with my parents beforehand, but I just had a quick tip of the day that I thought might be helpful that I noticed from my trip. When using extra magic hours, they seem to work really well at all of the parks except for Epcot. And for what I can tell, Epcot's extra magic hours were not beneficial because they don't open the World Showcase until 11 a.m. So everybody is confined to Future World, which makes it really difficult to get on any of the rides at a significantly less wait time than you would for regular hours. So I don't know if you would find something like that useful, but it certainly was useful for us because instead, when you have extra magic hours, there's 3 hours where everybody's confined to the same thing versus 2 hours where everybody's confined to the same spot. So hopefully that helps you out.
Thank you, Brittany. I found this very helpful, actually. I hadn't thought a lot about this before, so I gathered some information based on her tip that just to sort of expand upon what she was saying. So generally, on a normal Epcot day, the park opens at 9, the Future World does, and then World Showcase opens at 11. But on a morning Extra Magic Hour at Epcot, it would open at 8, just Future World. And so what she said there is you have 3 hours where everybody's just in Future World, and not everything is open. So I wanted to talk about this sort of park by park. So at Epcot in the morning, you've got the 6 attractions open in Future World for morning extra magic hours, but in the evening, there are 14 attractions open. So if Epcot has evening extra magic hours, you'll have 14 different things you can do. And that includes the World Showcase. So they're counting, you know, different pavilions in the World Showcase as part of that 14, but it definitely gives you more room to spread out when you've got a bunch of people in the park. Now let's compare that to some of the other parks. So at Magic Kingdom, there are 22 attractions open for extra magic hours in the morning and 32 in the evening. Hollywood Studios is 7 and 7 for morning and evening. And then Animal Kingdom only has morning extra magic hours. So that's 7 attractions there. So I realize the number of attractions alone is not doesn't tell the whole story because they have different capacities for each type of attraction. So for instance, the Animal Kingdom, the Kilimanjaro Safari has a large capacity for people. And so, you know, that can hold a lot more people than another attraction. But anyway, we're just going to go with these numbers for now because the numbers are significantly different. I mean, 32 attractions open in the evening at Magic Kingdom versus 7 at Hollywood Studios is a big, big difference. So that's something to keep in mind when you're planning and something I hadn't really considered. And so I actually, in the show notes, will include the list of all the attractions that are open for morning extra magic hours and evening extra magic hours, if that's something you're interested in. And it's possible that you didn't even know that all the attractions weren't open. So I think sometimes when people hear the park's open, they assume the entire park's open. And that's not true. It's just a sort of a subset of the overall attractions are available. So interesting thought there from Brittany. Something I've actually experienced firsthand. We went to Epcot for early extra magic hours in October, and the lines were actually pretty long. So that's definitely, I think, a fairly common occurrence. And there just aren't that many attractions to hold that many people. And in general, just as a reminder, I don't recommend extra magic hours because they can be so busy with on-site guests. However, if you have park hopper tickets or if you plan to just fully maximize those extra magic hours and leave when on the non-extra magic hour portion of the day, then they can make a lot of sense. During super busy times like Christmas and Easter, I would buy park tickets with park hoppers for sure, and make full use of the extra magic hours. So if, you know, begin your day at a park that's having morning extra magic hours, take a break and then go to a different park the second half of the day, something like that. And so anyway, they can be very useful, but in general, I just don't recommend them unless you know what you're doing. So I hope this information has been helpful. I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, including all the links and notes that I have mentioned in this episode, you can visit wwprepschool.com/episode86. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.